Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening. My next guests on the podcast are TJ Bari and Joseph Jones. Joseph, he is the superintendent of the Newcastle County Vocational Technical School District in Delaware. Joe is a former high school social studies teacher, assistant principal, and principal. As principal, he was named the Delaware Secondary Principal of the Year during his tenure. Del Castle Technical High School was the first high school to receive the state's Outstanding Academic Achievement Award. He received his doctorate from the University of Delaware in Educational Leadership and was awarded the Outstanding Doctoral Student Award of his class. Currently, Joe works closely with local and state leaders on student achievement and accountability and has spearheaded an aggressive and successful campaign to ensure student success. Joe is also an adjunct professor teaching and designing curriculum, both at the undergraduate and graduate levels for various universities. He presents nationally on topics of school leadership and is a co-founder of the Leadership Development Institute, the Schoolhouse 302. Along with TJ Vargas, co-authored Candid and Compassionate Feedback, Transforming Everyday Practice in Schools. And with Salome Thomas L. and TJ Vari, he has co-authored Passionate Leadership, Creating a Culture of Success in Every School, as well as Building a Winning Team, The Power of a Magnetic Reputation, and the Need to Recruit Top Talent in Every School. Dr. TJ Vari is the Assistant Superintendent of Secondary Schools and District Operations in the, can you help me with that pronunciation, TJ?
Sure, we just say APO, but it's okay. Apoquinamic.
Apoquinamic.
But everybody just says APO, you can keep it at that.
Okay, APO School District in Delaware. He's a former middle school assistant principal, and a former high school English teacher and department chair. His master's degree is in social leadership, school leadership, and his doctorate is in innovation and leadership, where he accepted an award for the academic excellence given to one doctoral student per graduating class. He holds several honors and distinctions, including his past appointment as president of the Delaware Association for School Administrators, his work with the Delaware Association for School Principals, and the honor in accepting the Paul Carson Administrator of the Year Award. His efforts span beyond the K-12 arena into higher education, where he holds adjunct appointments teaching courses at the master's and doctoral level. He is a national presenter on the topics of school leadership and the co-founder of the Schoolhouse 302, a Leadership Development Institute. He has also co-authored these books that I mentioned with Joseph Jones at the end of Joseph's bio. So welcome on to the podcast, TJ and Joe.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for being on. And the first question I start out with is just tell me about a time when each of you were in the trenches during your career or as a student yourself and managed to come out.
I can begin. Thank you for that, Dana. Yeah, the trenches, I'm a visual person, so I got all kinds of things running through my head right now. But, one distinct memory comes to mind when I was an assistant principal. I mean, I could easily just say COVID, right? That'd be an easy answer. We're in the trenches, but I'm not sure I've come out just yet. So I'm going to leave that. Maybe I'll do the podcast in a year from now and I could have that answer. We were really trying to move the needle for student achievement when I was an assistant principal at one of our high schools. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult for all the reasons that we know. Student attendance was okay, but I had a caseload of students I was working with, checking in every day. Their attendance was sporadic. Occasionally when they were in school, they weren't always the best behaved students. And then all of the things that we typically associate with at-risk students, these students embodied. Mm-hmm. And it was a major goal, though, of ours to have success and really show these students a better way. And now we'll wrap these conversations around things like, how do we end the education to prison pipeline? Mm-hmm. How do we make sure that we don't have students drop out of high school after being a freshman and 17 years old? Mm-hmm. So these are the students I'm referring to and referring about. And I will say that we came out of the trenches. It was a very dogged approach. Mm-hmm. I would love to tell you that it was formulaic and we purchased something and that worked. It simply wasn't the case. At the end of the day, administrators and teachers rallied together to make a school community function at a high level, which started just targeting families. How do we involve parents? How do we build a curriculum within the home? How do we make parents feel like the schools are a welcome place that they could come and belong to? And then every day we had individuals checking on those students. And mm-hmm. and it worked. It was a long road. It took a couple years. It wasn't a quick fix. But that's something that has lasted me throughout my career, that it wasn't just a single, you know, program. It wasn't something that took a week and we were done. It was everybody really connecting, having a common purpose and saying we could do this for these students. And at the end of the day, I think our biggest, you know, achievement was not only some of the gains we made academically, but I would say it was the relationships we built with mm-hmm. those families. At the end of the day, that's what we really noticed has made the difference. They knew they had a place in our school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great to hear, just working with students. And I've had a lot of experience working with those type of students that, you know, were on that, you know, school to prison pipeline. And, you know, I think one of the things that have stood out to me the most from those experiences are those families, getting them connected with resources and reaching out and getting to know students beyond, you know, what their persona at school is, right? Knowing what's happening at home as well. So TJ, when were you in the trenches and what's your inspiring story to tell?
Well, like Joe, you know, the easy answer is COVID. Not, I agree with him. We're not out yet. So let's not tell stories about that being in the past until it's actually in the past. But I'd like to give a shout out to the Yale National Initiative to Strengthen Teaching in Public Schools. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was a teacher, I got the opportunity to go to Yale and to study in that initiative. And really what we were learning about was how to build an institute in our local region. Mm-hmm. So we got to build the program of study there is you study in a seminar and you build a curriculum unit, and that curriculum unit gets published for anybody who wants to teach those standards in that way with those materials. And the first year that I was there, I really thought it was great professional development for me. I was building my curriculum unit. We were publishing these units. I had access to them. The second year, I realized the purpose wasn't just about the professional development. It was about the fact that we were learning how to build an institute. I was there with colleagues from across the state. In the very beginning was Dr. Raymond Thylacker. He has since passed, but he was a fantastic teacher leader. And what we were doing in the trenches there was trying to build an institute in Delaware, like the one that's at Yale. You learn how to do that. It's mirrored, and building partnerships in Delaware so that school districts across the state could partner with the University of Delaware for what now is the Delaware Teachers Institute, one of the most thriving institutes in the country. And so a real shout out, because it's the best professional development I've ever had. Being in the trenches was about building the curriculum units, but also building what again is now the Delaware Teachers Institute, a thriving institute at the University of Delaware that serves teachers across the state and specifically in our Newcastle County. So a wonderful experience that just grew and blossomed into something that I'll never forget in my career, in the trenches with some really great people, and something that came out of it that's just benefiting teachers and students across the country.
Well, that's great to hear that they were able to model that on what Yale's model was and bring that forward in Delaware and, you know, continue with the success many years later. During this recording, I'd like to point out a little bit about the Building a Winning Team book. And, you know, in my opinion, it's an essential book to have in schools where there's high turnaround, but also reading the book, I think it really should be on the reading list for principal licensure programs and superintendent licensure programs. And my question is, how many districts and schools have reached out to you during this hiring season due to increased turnaround due to COVID and maybe just needing some extra support in building that winning team because they lost a lot of employees? So what has your experience been there?
I would say, Dana, and I'll turn it over to TJ pretty quick. You know, that's been an odd thing with books really in general right now. I think a lot of schools are so focused on COVID, it's kind of put a halt on some of the work that we think would have been generated around this. But there's no doubt that it's received a lot of praise. And I think one thing that I'll just feature very quick is the fact that less and less people are going into the profession. And that's not a new trend. This has been going on for quite a bit now. And so one thing we've tried to focus on within the book and really even within our own districts and within the state and surrounding states is how do we tell our own story to attract people? How do we get more people simply interested in becoming an educator? And that's been really difficult, quite frankly, for a lot of districts. And so we hope that it picks up. And then this is something that will be another focus. We felt at the time that this was written really at a perfect moment when a lot of schools were and districts were throughout the country, you know, expressing, you know, what they seen as or viewed as, you know, disagreement with labor or with their districts. And we had strikes and so on. So we thought it was perfect. And then COVID hit and kind of crushed, you know, a lot of school districts' efforts to move in that direction of building a winning team. TJ, anything you would like to add in regards to that?
No, just the critical notion that our reputation has to improve for if we want to attract people to this profession. I mean, we interviewed on our podcast, Joe Sanfilippo, and he said that, people won't change the way they talk about school until we change the way we talk about school. Right. So that's a really important notion, in that book and some other books that are out there around branding. At the very beginning of COVID, we were actually supposed to do a live presentation, a series on the book that went virtual. So we were able to do that virtually, and we had a great audience of people really from across the country and probably wouldn't have been able to do that, right? So that was supposed to be a local presentation where people would drive and come see us talk about building a winning team. But we ended up taking it to Zoom and we had people joining that as well. And that was a two-part series that we've done. But just an interesting thing to be on the show today is somebody reached out to me this morning and said, I really like the focus on diversity. We have a section in the book about valuing diversity and cognitive diversity, 2D diversity. And, you know, that's been something that obviously is really important now more than ever.
Yeah, I think so. And what I really got from the book is just gives a lot of tips for hiring teams and how to attract great talent. I mean, a lot of people, you know, if they throw a job posting on the HR website and they're using the same job posting from 5 or 10 years ago, right? So maybe, you know, trying things a little bit differently next time, right? Learning to cast a wider net. I mean, there's job fairs, but you know, next spring is going to look different, right? We have virtual job fairs, but you know, networking with people that you'd like to recruit. So, you know, I think it just gives a lot of tips, like you said, hiring diversity and, you know, just having that brand, that magnetic reputation for people to want to come. And, you know, having looked for jobs myself, a lot of time you don't know a lot about the school or the school district because sometimes they don't really update their website. And that's really important for schools that want to recruit great talent is to have relevant information on their website as well. So I'd like to also talk about, like you said, you've had Joe Sanfilippo on your podcast, and you have your one thing series podcast interviews. Can you talk a little bit about kind of what you got you started with the Focus Ed podcast and this One Thing series, and what kind of people you interview for this?
So I'll kick that off for us. We have our One Thing series is a podcast that we've been doing for years. Mm-hmm. And it's once a month. What we do is on our website, we focus one leadership topic per month. Mm-hmm. And in that month, we publish a long form blog. We publish a podcast with a leader who we consider to be the expert mm-hmm. on that topic. You know, for the month that we did positivity, we had John Gordon on the show. Mm-hmm. You know, the month we talked about telling your story, we had Joe Sanfilippo on the show. That's what I was referring to earlier. We also publish a video blog on the site on books that we think you should read on that topic. And typically a review and reflect type of curriculum towards the end of the month, reviewing the blog, reviewing the books, reviewing the podcast, and somewhat of a self-assessment. That One Thing series it's a quick podcast. It's 30 minutes. It's with an expert, typically an author. They come on the show. They talk about that topic. They address the topic. They address some of the concepts in their book. And then we pivot to our 5 One Thing series questions that we have found really concentrate some tips and tools and tricks that our expert guest knows about for leading better and growing faster, which is our tagline. Our audience wants to lead better and grow faster, and we try to find hacks for them to do that. Mm-hmm. Our guests on that show are not always educational leaders. Mm-hmm. A lot of times they're business leaders, they're entrepreneurs, they're, you know, Harvard professor, you know, and so we try to find like experts, like I said. Our Focus Ed podcast, which is still in production, there's probably 10 episodes in production. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting one because it starts as a live podcast interview with a live audience. Now we've been doing on Zoom and we get an audience. And again, that audience comes on, obviously they're a silent audience, but we interview live a guest, and that is typically an educational leader or somebody who we think has something to say about education. Mm-hmm. We focus on a topic for that one as well. It's not situated within any curriculum or any series, but we focus on a book. We've had Adam Welkom on the show. We've had Connie Hamilton on the show. We've had Star Saxton on the show. And we reach out to educational leaders. Jimmy Casas has been on the show. And so those episodes are ready to get blasted out. They're in production. The rest of the Focus Ed episodes will be coming out soon. Mm-hmm. And we have about 10, 12 of them still lined up for the remainder of this school year to put in production. It's a fun show to do. It's light. Again, there's a live audience, and that's the difference between those two shows. I think I hope I answered your question, and Joe can add anything you'd like to that.
That was fairly comprehensive. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So when you all started working together with Schoolhouse 302, did you start with a leadership blog before you started the podcast?
Joe tells this story way better than I do.
Yeah, so I would say all of this was very organic. It, mm-hmm. it was not designed in a lab and never really was constructed to reach an audience. Mm-hmm. This was born from TJ and I doing our best to stay in shape amid very busy lives, mm-hmm. professionally, personally, young kids, administrators, and I'm sure audience members understand that. So we would go on these runs, and we are blessed to have the beautiful White Clay Creek right by our home. And so we can run in the woods, and it's awesome. It's right by this creek, and you can see people fishing for trout, other runners, hikers. And so this was a great opportunity for us to experience some catharsis by sharing you know, each other's days, what we're battling with, maybe getting some suggestions all around this idea of iron sharpens iron. Mm-hmm. And one day I simply took out my phone and, you know, stopped running and said, you know what, TJ, I think people need to hear what we're talking about. It may actually benefit a wider audience. And it just kind of grew from there. And from that standpoint, we started the blog. And knowing how educators are, knowing how people grow as leaders, we wanted to offer differentiation. So we tried to mirror best practices in the classroom on our blog. So originally it started with writing and introducing concepts around the topic of leadership and learning and growing. And then it grew to not only writing about a leadership topic, but introducing people to a leader. And that's why, as TJ mentioned before, the One Thing series really never focused on just educators. Mm-hmm. It was about practitioners, regardless of their profession, that were at the top of their game. The one caveat was that they had to be a leader. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we subscribe to the definition that John Maxwell provides, that leadership is influence. Mm-hmm. And therefore, so we could really broaden our scope of who would be on the show. And then we said, you know what? People should also know what to read. If they're like us, not only do they want to hear from an expert, but they should know who's written on the topic. And that started our video blog of, you know, great leaders are great readers. So we started to read this series. And from that, it grew on to some books that we would introduce. And that has really resonated with a wide audience. And like I said, we're shocked at where we are now. Mm-hmm. We never expected to sit here and do podcasts, influence a large audience, have books that have really resonated with a lot of people. But it goes back to that trail, and it goes back to me stopping and TJ having a great idea, me jotting it down and saying, hey, more people need to hear this. And thank God they do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Would you say some of the books or parts of the books have come from some of those blog entries and conversations that you've had during your runs?
100%. I mean, a lot of times what will happen is we'll get into a professional development that we're doing. We'll build a concept. We like to build models. So almost every time we build a new concept, like we have a 7-way trust model that we just put out. And so we'll build a model, and then we'll typically present on that model. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get questions in the audience. From the audience, and then Joe and I'll discuss those questions, and then I'll add to the model, and then all of a sudden it's a lot longer than a long form blog post. It's, you know, we've got 35,000, 50,000 words on a topic. I mean, building a winning team, for example, it has a sequel that's coming out in February called Retention for a Change, because there's a third part to building a winning team. It's not just about that magnetic reputation and then the recruitment strategies. It's about keeping people on the team. And so just, we like that things snowball, but we also like that people comment, we present, we take questions, and that really creates an avenue for us to build new content. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would say any one of our blog posts is actually a presentation that we can build for the model, and also a book that can be written. And the funny story about building a winning team, that was a blog post. I mean, it was an article we wrote, and was it EL Magazine? It was a magazine article that we wrote, and a publisher picked up on it and said, could you write a book about this? And as Joe and I always like to say, sure, we got a lot more to say about it.
Yeah. And was that around 2015 that you decided to start with the blog after having run together for a while?
Yeah, that's around that. It's we've been doing this for a few years now, shockingly. And it's taken a little bit to get into a rhythm also. So, you know, it's funny. You don't start, like I said, we didn't start out thinking with this grandiose idea. And I will say both TJ and I are planners. We are goal setters. We believe in vision. We believe in mission. But this really didn't start that way. We eventually said, okay, now that we're a little more serious about this, it is taking up time that we have to now justify with our wives and mm-hmm. say, hey, look, we're going to write together. We had to legitimately put this on paper, yeah. have a vision, have a mission. But yeah, it's been about 5 years now. And just to piggyback on something TJ said, you know, it's kind of like finding a good stock. Mm-hmm. It's what is going on in the public that is starting to attract people. So my son, who's a senior in high school, just told me he's been following Chewy stock. Well, TJ just bought a dog. If I had any more or better intuition, I would have known, heck, during COVID, I should have probably got some Chewy stock, and it's skyrocketing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think TJ and I just simply try to be sensitive to what's going on in education. As practitioners, we try to have a lending ear to everyone in the building and at our central office and listen to their concerns, and from their concerns, try to generate topics. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why a lot of what we write resonates with people, because it just makes a lot of sense. It's timely, and it's things that people may be actually struggling with themselves.
Mm-hmm. And you're getting that lens also from your involvement with the State School Executives Association, and also from speaking nationwide, and you know, getting those ideas, what's going on in other schools besides your own district as well. So, you know, I think it's inspiring to, you know, have people that are, you know, maybe working in a similar field in a similar area, but, you know, wanting to collaborate. And that's just, you know, interesting how it came about from running together, right? How many times do we, you know, talk about things during run? I usually run alone, but, you know, and then we, that actually turns into books and a podcast and all of that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about schools that you tend to work with, you know, particularly when you did travel, and, you know, later on after COVID, when you will travel again, maybe schools that had you consult, that maybe you consulted with the Schoolhouse 302. And was it primarily schools that are at or near turnaround status, or were there schools kind of across the board?
We definitely work with schools across the board. I mean, I work in a public system, 12,000 kids, pre-K through 12th grade, adult education programming, the whole nine, comprehensive. But Joe and I work with schools from across our state, mm-hmm. but also throughout the country, anywhere from small charter schools to very large public school systems with, you know, even north of the number of students you mentioned you have in your school district. Mm-hmm. We'll be in a room sometimes with 350 administrators, and then the next day we'll be working with a leadership team at one small elementary school. So, I mean, that's the beauty of schools. Everybody needs mm-hmm. something a little bit different, and our the breadth of our offerings, you know, the books that we write aren't central to one topic. So sometimes somebody will gravitate towards an individual topic in one of our books, or mm-hmm. or one of the books themselves, or a blog post, and we'll do PD on that. But, you know, we'll work with, because our work is topical, it's not really centralized to a grade level or to a grade configuration or to the type of to a single type of school. I hope that answers your question. And one thing we do pride ourselves on is, you know, one of our co-authors, Salome Thomas L, mm-hmm. known as Principal L, he works in a charter school, in an urban charter school. Joe works in a vocational, so high school only vocational system. And I work in a pretty medium size, for Delaware standards, 12,000 kids, comprehensive system. So we try to be able to, we try to use our own diversity to look across the spectrum and see what we can offer from our background and experiences. I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Joe.
No, I would say thank you, TJ. That's, again, very comprehensive response. I would like to add, or just piggyback on, the fact that the three of us, Principal L, TJ, and I, has become a really nice connection with mm-hmm. ideas. We come from different backgrounds. That in and of itself helps. But But then the fact that our professional lives are in different settings helps. Mm-hmm. And Delaware, although it's a very small sandbox, is fairly unique and diverse. Mm-hmm. And you see that in our work, it's represented very clearly. So I think that's what resonates with a lot of different schools and why when you talk about things like candor and compassion, when you're giving feedback, that, you know, there a lot of people, you know, really respond to that or building a winning team. And so it's really those topics that relate to people.
Are you giving, besides the blog and the podcast, are you currently speaking at any conferences, doing keynotes, you know, giving any professional development for maybe districts that have consulted with you?
Yeah, we have a number of things going on that we could point out. We were just in a school district nearby. You know, it was weird. We presented in masks and and we're in an auditorium. It was great to be in front of a group of people again. We do a lot via Zoom. We do all of the assistant principal and principal induction programming in Delaware through the Department of Education. So twice a month, we're doing that. We have that live podcast interview, Focus Ed. That's a professional development offering that people can sign up for. We're also offering a master class right now in candid and compassionate feedback. So folks are trickling in on that. Actually, seats are starting to become a little scarce for that one. And then we're starting a new assistant principal and principal mastermind. It's not something we've done before, but something that's near and dear to our hearts to get a group of people to get together weekly to talk about topics of leadership and do some book studies. So there's a number of things. We support the principal seminar 3 and 3. And we have some partnerships. I don't know if I'm missing anything, Joe, but
no, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. It makes me talking.
And that's the mastermind you were talking about. Is that kind of tied to principals and APs in Delaware, or would it be offered to people throughout the US?
No, we're looking for assistant principals and principals across the country who want to spend an hour a week talking about problems of practice, talking about the things that they find successful and that they can replicate through bright spots, and studying books, typically outside of education, to be better leaders, all under the theme of leading better and growing faster. It's a growth strategy, and it's new for us. And we're probably only going to take about 10 people. The masterclass will fill up to 100, right? But that's 5 sessions at 45 minutes each. And then we'll run another one and another one and another one. We've built this whole bank of masterclasses, and we're starting with candid and compassionate feedback.
Okay. And are those masterclasses open to principals throughout the U.S.?
And Canada, and we're trying to reach also within South America.
Okay.
Canada's a little easier because one of the gentlemen we're working with, a retired superintendent, lives in Canada. So that's a nice little area. But what we have found too with our travels and conversations, and you'll hear this from a lot of educators, the power of Twitter.
Yeah.
We start to recognize what we're dealing with here, they're dealing with across the ocean in Europe or in other countries, and having connections landlocked to like Canada, to South America in certain ways. It's nice if we could broaden these conversations, especially when we're starting to really talk about how do you handle diversity? How do you really start to begin to relate with all kids to ensure student achievement? And so getting that level of diversity in a mastermind and hearing from different principals is powerful just from hearing from that experience. And so Twitter's wonderful for that platform. We're looking to actually create that platform in a little more broader structured environment so people can grow and build their professional learning network beyond the typical boundaries that we think of.
Yeah.
It stems from the fact that we work with a lot of especially new assistant principals and principals, but even seasoned folks who they just need a professional experience ongoing with other like-minded people and a gathering. They don't need, like, we do presentations on any number of our topics, and that works. And we do follow-up and we do coaching with folks. Sometimes we'll have, you know, a three-year relationship with a school, but this is more open-ended. It's an outlet structured, but it's there for you every week versus waiting for that presentation to come or that next professional development session.
Yeah. And that gives those members then a chance to, you know, talk about their problems they're dealing with in a non-biased atmosphere, right? They're talking with people that aren't in their district. You know, they, if they were with people in the district, they may be afraid to, you know, give some of that information. And it also gives them a chance to hear from people who are working in all types of environments. And, you know, I think because the AP and principal jobs are so isolating sometimes, you know, kind of being at the top, and it's really needed, I think, more and more. And it's great to hear that you all are also starting a mastermind. I know several other leaders I'm connected with are currently doing masterminds. So, you know, I've really enjoyed having you both on the podcast today. And out of everything we discussed today, what's one thing in particular each of you would like listeners to remember?
You know, one thing that wasn't said that I want to definitely make sure is heard, when we go back to building a winning team, one major point that I definitely want listeners to understand and allow them to really allow to marinate is the idea that we present, when you hire, you're hiring of an archetype of an individual. You're not necessarily hiring for an English position or a social studies position. The dynamics involved in education today exceed content and exceed instructional prowess. You know, educators are asked to do more than ever. And when you have to hire someone, designing the archetype of who you're looking for is powerful. Mm-hmm. And if people start to make just that little switch, rather than looking at it from the lens of a position, but to a person and what that person can do for students, it can start to transform your school.
And I would just say, we got to keep pushing. Something that's been, we brought up this concept of telling our story to build a winning team. We have to keep pushing one another. And it's better to lift if you're going to push. And so the lift is the story. It's the cul-de-sac conversation we have about our day. It's what we say to ourselves, and it's what we tell our neighbors. If we pick the one thing that brought us down and that's what we communicate, that's what people are going to think about us in schools. We have to tell the story of the kids who had, you could see the smile on their face, even though you couldn't see their face. That's the story these days with these masks, right? But the critical notion is that with a lot of great stuff going on in schools, and we have to push forward and do better, we have to lift before we do that. And that's by telling our story and building that magnetic reputation. Everybody should want to be a teacher and a leader in schools. They should be beating the doors down to get inside because of the great things. But we need to be the ones that tell people what's going on so that they're attracted to be on our team.
So great to end with those type of words, and, you know, really wanting to bring more people into the profession and, you know, hoping that they'll see. I think, like you pointed out earlier in the podcast, the more positive things that we as educators say about the profession, the more others outside the profession will say positive things, right? It comes from us. So where can people find the Schoolhouse 302 and follow each of you online?
Well, as always, you can find us at theschoolhouse302.com. That's where our blog is. You can contact us right in our email at contact@theschoolhouse302. We love to hear from folks. Again, that's contact@theschoolhouse302.com. I'm at TJ Vary, TJVARI on Twitter. And Joe is at Joseph Jones Sr. That's Joseph Jones SR on Twitter. And so we love to hear from folks. I don't know, Joe, if you want to put a pin in our Facebook page, but people can go ahead.
You're muted.
So for Facebook, the Schoolhouse 302 on Facebook, it's different content as well, which is exciting. A lot of it is from out there, but nice little chats, posts, typical with Facebook. But we try to have a presence on social media. But as TJ said, the easiest way to connect is jump on the website.
Well, thank you both so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much for the invitation. This was a pleasure.